With a royal wedding just 2 months away, it's a busy time for British luxury gift manufacturer Halcyon Days. At its ceramics factory in England, the company is working on mugs, plates and teapots, rolling out a number of commemorative collections ahead of Prince Harry marrying his American fiancée, Meghan Markle, in May. It expects a boost in its sales of between 10 to 15%.
Broken phone screens are the inevitable consequence of our desire for bigger yet thinner handsets. But scientists like Dr. Matthew Large say they have the answer. Silver nanowires are sprayed onto ultra-flexible plastic substrate screens. Graphene particles are then laid on top. Graphene is remarkably conductive, while its use vastly reduces the quantity of silver needed. Silver is expensive and rare, while stocks of indium tin oxide, also rare and ecologically damaging to extract, can be left in the ground.
Dog owners and their willingness to pamper their pooches with high-end food and products has investors jumping into the pet market. That's good news for brands like Kergo, which has been manufacturing dog harnesses for nearly 15 years out of an office in Massachusetts. As the market for furry friends continues to grow, it's created a boom in pet-related deals around the world. Food company General Mills, in a move to counter declining sales of processed foods, bought out Blue Buffalo pet products for a whopping $8 billion. That's just one of the 28 deals in the pet industry so far this year.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. It is Monday, March the 19th, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day, another business week getting underway. We've got a good broadcast for you today. Coming up in our segment this morning, Fred Cox will be here. He's the president of the Franchise Show, which is hitting the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center later in the week on the 24th. We'll talk about buying a franchise. It is often a proven business opportunity, and sometimes these shows can help you with the first step. The Franchise Show in our second segment this morning, and in a minute, our CEO Spotlight, Carl Siegel, will be here. He's the CEO of Roti Mediterranean Grill. That's coming up in just a few seconds. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, lots of red on the screens this morning. First in Europe, where the FTSE is off more than 1% this morning, down 77 points. The DAX is off almost 1% as well. The CAC is off about 0.5%. In Asia, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei down almost 1%. That's 195 points. Markets are up. In China, the Shanghai is up as well, nearly a quarter of a percent this morning. Futures in this country off nearly 125 points on the Dow, and we're seeing market fluctuations as well in the NASDAQ, off almost, if these numbers are correct this morning, nearly 2% on the NASDAQ. NASDAQ futures, according to the MarketWatch board this morning, down 163 points. And S&P futures are down nearly 13 points. Oil this morning is trading at $62.10 a barrel, which is off about a quarter. Some stories that we're watching for you this morning. First, Brexit. A key committee of British lawmakers says the UK should consider postponing Brexit because there may not be enough time to strike a deal with the European Union before Britain leaves the bloc a year from now. The exiting the EU committee says if major aspects of the future relationship remain unsettled by October, Britain should seek a limited extension of its EU membership. And here in Chicago this week, amid cloak and dagger secrecy, according to the Sun-Times, the Amazon team charged with evaluating 20 finalists for the North American H2Q headquarters 2 will be in Chicago to get a first-hand look at three of the sites the city has offered up. According to the Sun-Times, the preliminary itinerary calls for Amazon to visit the Lincoln Yard sites, the old post office sites, as well as another site near the Fulton Market District. Again, Amazon in town this week here in Chicago. It's Monday, CEO Monday, and we're happy to have with us this morning the CEO of Roti Modern Mediterranean. The company has just secured a $23 million investment that will fuel further growth. The company's CEO, Carl Siegel, is with us this morning. Carl, good morning, and welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Steve.
I'm excited because you've brought us food as well, so the smell, the listening audience can't smell the smell, but we can tell you how wonderful it smells.
Absolutely. Well, no good restaurant interview would be complete without food, so we had to show up with food today, otherwise we probably wouldn't gotten past the security desk.
We would have let you in, honestly.
Thank you.
But the smells are wonderful, but also the growth that your company is experiencing right now, wonderful as well.
Yes.
Tell us what's news at your company.
Well, lots of growth, not only in terms of the number of restaurants that we're growing, but new markets as well. Roti started here in Chicago actually 10 years ago, and we are in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia, as well as New York in Manhattan. We just opened last year in Dallas, Texas, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. So lots of growth, both geographically, as well as how we build the business and grow the company overall.
What goes into deciding where to grow next? Why Dallas? Why Minneapolis?
That's a great question, Steve. We look for our customers in large numbers. And these are people who really love food, who love to eat, who want to have a different option for them at lunchtime or at dinner or in the middle of the day when they're hungry. And they're thinking about delicious, flavorful, wholesome, healthful food. That's different than the typical thing they're going to get, whether it's a burger or a taco or, you know, something that they have greater access to. So we look for this customer profile, and then we map where they are in high numbers and say this is going to be a great target market for us to open because the Roti customer exists in great numbers there.
The headlines from both of those cities after openings have been very positive. People
yes.
like Roti.
Yes, and for opening one restaurant and just through word of mouth and getting food out there and getting people to come in and try it, it's been tremendous. We're really, really pleased with the progress there so far.
Part of what's helping fuel the growth is headlines like this. You've received a $23 million investment. That's going to help.
That'll help a lot. Absolutely. Yeah. $23 million will help us open a lot of restaurants.
Tell us about the investment and what specifically you'll use it for.
Well, we will use it for growth. So when we bring on capital like that, it will help us open more restaurants in more markets. We'll also use it to help build our infrastructure. We're a very technology forward-thinking company. We have a lot that we want to do in terms of connecting with our customers the way our customers want to connect with us. And largely, that is through different digital platforms. So helping us to expand our digital footprint as well as our physical footprint with the number of restaurants that we open is really on the front burner for us.
Does that manifest from an app? Is it the app that they're yeah. using to communicate with you about what they're ordering, or is it beyond that?
It's actually beyond that. Certainly the e-commerce platform, the app, the way people order their meal is a big component of it, but it's also how they communicate with us and how we communicate with them. We have a loyalty program that rewards people for coming in. We allow our customers and welcome them to communicate directly with us if they have something great to tell us, if they have an experience that's not so terrific, because we want to jump on that and make sure that we're being very, very responsive. So it's another way of opening up lines of communications. When we do a new restaurant opening, for example, we will communicate directly with our customers that, hey, guess what? We're opening in your neighborhood, or we've heard from you that you'd like us to think about opening here, and we're actually going to put a restaurant there. So it's a great way for us to connect across a much broader platform.
You're still a private company, and
yes.
so that's why we're not going to go into a lot of the financial talk. But talk to me about the challenges. Are there any special challenges to being still a private company and expanding like this?
Absolutely. You know, the marketplace is so much more crowded these days with other really great, high-quality dining options. And as more and more people move away from full-service restaurant experiences, they can get full-service fine dining or casual fine dining type food in a fast environment for a lot less money. So there are more and more people that are realizing that the space that we call fast casual, which is kind of that intersection between, you know, the fast food world and the full service world, as more and more people realize, wow, there's great opportunity here to grow a business and to do more, the space is getting more crowded. It puts a lot of pressure on us for real estate, for locations as we grow. It puts a lot of pressure on us for the people that we look to hire. So there's a lot that makes it much, much more challenging today, for example, than 15 years ago when this idea first really started to come out.
You mentioned that this is your 10th year in operation. 2007, I think, was
correct
when this idea sort of came off the ground.
Yeah.
Give our listeners who may not be familiar with Roti how it all started. Why, how, where and how?
Well, Roti actually started right here in Chicago, and it started when a couple of friends were lamenting the fact that it was very difficult to get really healthful, high-quality, flavorful food from around the Mediterranean. And they started, our first location in the city was at 10 South Riverside, and we opened the doors with really great fanfare. People loved it, and it was a great opportunity to showcase something like this and then start to grow it, because at the time there really wasn't a lot in the Mediterranean space. People get confused about Mediterranean because there's no country of Mediterranea, for example. You know, they think, well, is it Greek? Is it Italian? Is it, you know, Israeli? It's actually a blend of food from throughout the region. And there are a lot of great players out there that focus on, you know, falafel, for example, and shawarma and things like that. We're less ethnic and a little bit more around the health value, the quality, the nutrition, and the flavors, the really bold flavors from around the region entirely.
So give us a sense of what's on the menu.
Well, the way our menu works is you decide if you'd like a salad, a rice plate, or a sandwich. We have really terrific house-baked pita and laffa wraps, and then you choose what you'd like in it. So we've got really great 100% grass-fed steak, antibiotic-free chicken. We've got gluten-free organic falafel, fresh salmon. We bring in fresh salmon to our restaurants, which is not something you typically see. So you put the protein in it, and then basically from there, you move down the line, and you can have your choice of any or all of our fresh-made toppings and sides that we make in-house. We do a lot of scratch cooking in our restaurants. And that's basically how the program works. So the shorthand version, it's sort of a Mediterranean Chipotle, to make it easy on people to understand, with really high-quality, delicious food.
As you were explaining it, that's immediately came to mind, was waiting in line at Chipotle to do that. But obviously with better ingredients, I'm sure you'll argue, better service, better everything.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely have elevated the whole experience several notches.
Yeah. And so what would be the price point? You know, when we walk out to the cash register, we talking the same as Chipotle?
It's a dollar or so more. Mm-hmm. You know, you can still get a terrific lunch at Roti for less than $10. Mm-hmm. But again, because of the ingredients that we're using and the way we prepare so much in-house and the variety, we have a very, very large variety to choose from. It's a little bit more.
Talk to us a little bit about growing pains as you've expanded to all of these different places. You touched on some of it earlier, but what would you say has been the biggest?
I think really the biggest for us right now is around the people side and the real estate. I talked a little bit about the real estate. You know, as you grow, there's more and more competition in the fast casual space. But really the core of it for us is around finding great people and building that team. That is really where I spend at least 50, if not more, percent of my time every day. In fact, on the way into work today, I interviewed someone. I had a conversation, you know, on the phone with them, someone from a market outside of Chicago, and I still talk to every single salaried employee that we're considering for a position in this company. And I'll do it until someone comes to me and says, okay, you know, you really have to stop doing this. It's that important to me. And the people side of what we do is the cornerstone of our success.
And how does that go from the other side of that? I'm sure an employee getting a call from the CEO might be a little unnerving. But I mean, conversing with you now, you seem at ease. I could see getting a call from you, but that's kind of an odd.
I'm actually interviewing you right now, Steve, and you're doing quite well, by the way. You know, there is that, and people both can be a little intimidated by it. I try to put them at ease pretty quickly, but generally the feedback is really positive. They're actually quite surprised that the CEO is willing to take the time to pick up the phone and speak to them. And I say, listen, you know, it is the number one thing that we do in our business is to attract great people, to hire them, to develop them. And that is what makes Roti so special, aside from our food.
people who are listening to this right now would be like, wow, I just have comment cards I can put in a box at my place of work. You've elevated it to a whole new level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can, if you've got a question or a comment or anything you want to share with us, you can go to our website at roti.com, R-O-T-I.com, and talk with us and let us know what you think, and we'll start to engage you in conversation.
One of the challenges in this space, we've had conversations with other CEOs about this, is gone are the days where you have the giant malls, shopping malls.
Yes.
Where you have these restaurants appear in malls. And even retail structures outside of malls seem to be going away. How do you decide, how does that impact your placement of a restaurant nowadays?
That is one of the things that we spend a lot of time talking about, is how the landscape has changed around where people live, work, and trade. And the lines are very, very blurred. There's no such thing really as a pure suburban marketplace anymore, or a pure urban marketplace. I mean, if you take the Chicago Loop, for example, there are people who are living there now where, you know, there was a time when that wasn't necessarily the case. And so when you think about how people trade, you don't just put a restaurant in a shopping center because that's where people go on the weekends. Now there are so many street level retail opportunities in areas that you might not have thought of before. And it also extends, as I was talking about before, into the digital space. So when we think about where to locate a restaurant, we look for high traffic, we look for where people take care of their daily needs, and so much of that has shifted that we really have to be on it. Like you said, going out to a regional shopping mall is not the way people do it these days, and we have to be nimble and adjust accordingly.
Other companies, other restaurants in your space have partnered with, for instance, Uber Eats, mm-hmm. Others that are delivering food.
Yes.
Is that the future, too, for Roti?
Yes, it actually is the future now. We're very active with the Uber Eats, the Grubhubs and Seamless of the world, mm-hmm. DoorDash, those players. And it's a great way for us to launch the brand to customers that may have no idea that there's a Roti around them. Let's take Dallas, Texas, for example. We opened one restaurant in Dallas, our first one. We have more leases signed, and we'll open more there this year. But with our first one, we were astounded that we were doing thousands of dollars a week with Uber Eats and servicing a customer that has never walked into the restaurant. And we know that because we've engaged with them. And they basically go to Uber Eats and they look at their choices and they say, wow, this looks terrific. It looks great. This is how I want to eat. It's healthful. It's delicious. Great. I'm going to try it. And we get repeat orders that way. And it's introduced the brand to an entirely new set of customers that have not yet found their way into the actual restaurant yet. So it's a big piece.
Yeah. And that's amazing too. Is that a trend that you see elsewhere where people never come into the restaurant and just order?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We actually had a conversation with an email conversation with a customer who was ordering from us three times a week and never came into a Roti once.
Wow.
Just loves the food, eats it all the time, but has never been in. So that is both a really exciting opportunity as we think about the digital marketplace going forward. It also, when you talk about the economics of working with those third parties like the Uber Eats, they take a very large percentage from the restaurant. And if it's to help attract a new customer and bring them in and have them be loyal to us, that certainly is worth it. When we think about, wow, this is just how someone's going to engage, it actually changes the economics of doing business with those companies. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is to spend part of this investment is to think about our own digital platform and really up the game around how we have our website set up, how we have our online ordering at roti.com, and trying to offer some special things, some benefits, a reason for that customer to migrate away from the third parties and come and work with us directly. And so that's where you'll see a big area of focus for us in the coming years, certainly this year beginning.
How has marketing changed in this space? I would imagine that customers that you're talking about, the brand loyalty is an important part of it. Do you advertise? Are you using that word of mouth? Is there something more, street level going on?
Yeah, we're too small right now, really, to do large scale advertising. So you won't see us in mass media. I also think that the marketing marketplace has changed dramatically. So where you will see us is on your Facebook page or on Instagram or on more of the social outlets. And those channels allow us an opportunity to connect with customers in a different way. And when we learn that a customer is interested in healthy eating, for example, or healthy lifestyle, you know, maybe they're into working out, we have a way to sort of communicate and say, hey, listen, while you're thinking about your workout, when you're finished, why not stop by Roti and grab lunch? And so it's a lot more direct to our customers that are interested type marketing, so that we can keep the message a little bit more focused and clearer. And it really has helped us a lot as we open up more and more of these conversations as we grow the brand.
We love when CEOs come in because we can always ask them about what the climate is like in the business world. From your viewpoint, how are things going?
Well, at Roti, things are going very, very well. When we look across the marketplace in the fast casual restaurant space at our competitors, I'm very proud and pleased and humbled to say that we are faring better than most, which is terrific. And I think it's because of the space that we're in. It is highly competitive. And costs are going up across the board for food, for labor. We believe that people should be earning a fair wage so that they can come and work at Roti and participate in our benefits programs and really make a career out of it if they want. We have a career path that allows people to come in as an hourly team member and really work their way up into management or higher levels of leadership. We have lots of examples of that. So lots of economic pressures around labor for us. And another indicator that we look at that has put a lot of pressure on our business is what people pay for food at the grocery store versus what they pay for food when they're in a restaurant. And that gap is the widest that it has been in years, the food at home, food away from home margins. So grocery prices, if you were to go to the grocery store and buy food, are at an all-time low, and restaurant prices are actually at an all-time high. So with that gap as wide as it is, that puts a lot of pressure on us serving our customers, because they can go to a grocery store and they can buy food for less, either to prepare, or many, many grocery stores are competing with restaurants now because they've got these incredible ready-to-eat prepared food sections. You know, if you think about going into a Whole Foods, you almost don't need to shop at the Whole Foods. Yeah. You can just go and eat at the salad bar, the hot bar, all the prepared foods they have. So that's putting a lot of pressure on us as well.
Is there a demographic that's helping to fuel that? Is it millennials that want that prepared food to go? They don't want to make anything at home?
Yeah. You know, we're careful about the term millennial because it's such a broad spectrum. But yes, people who are well-educated, who understand what great food is all about and who demand it. They have disposable income. They're busy. Maybe cooking is something they do on the weekend for fun. Maybe they don't think about doing it during the week quite as much because they don't have the time. So they still want to eat really well, and they're concerned about what they're eating and what they're putting into their bodies. But they'll go to Whole Foods and shop that way for prepared foods. So we also think that's a great opportunity for us because we can offer that same type of an experience, and you can connect with us digitally, as we've talked about, and have it ready when you are, or you can pop in. Our lines move really quickly.
Let's talk about your experience as a leader from history. What is from your past has brought you to this moment, prepared you for this moment to be CEO?
Well, I've been in the restaurant industry my entire career. I started out right out of college working for Let Us Entertain You Restaurants here in Chicago, and then owned some restaurants of my own, and was one of the people that helped to grow Potbelly Sandwich Works from the first restaurant. And I joined Roti as the CEO 4 years ago, really because I fell in love with the food. I was a customer at Roti, and I thought it was a great opportunity to get involved with a brand that I really believed in the food, and that was first and foremost. Having led the company now for the last 4 years, a couple things I've realized. First of all, it is lonely as the CEO. It's hard to collaborate at the same level when you don't necessarily have a peer set. So I certainly rely heavily on my senior team, and we have a very, very strong working relationship, but it's slightly different. So what I've done is created a network of other CEOs around the country. In fact, I was in San Francisco yesterday for some business, and I met the CEO of a really cool salad concept out there, and we spent, you know, an hour and a half talking shop, and you can compare notes and talk at a different level. The other thing around being the CEO is that you really have to want to lead at that level. It's not something that you just sort of wake up one day and say, okay, well, I want to be the CEO of a company. You really have to want to do the hard work of leading, and you're constantly on. You have to be available. You have to be accessible. I pride myself on spending a lot of time in our restaurants. Mm-hmm. I pride myself on the fact that I know the people that work for us at the hourly team member level, and they know me. People have said to me, "Hey, you should go on Undercover Boss," and I say it wouldn't work because you know too many folks mm-hmm. know me, and I'm proud about that fact.
Do you have any sort of routine that you go through? I know when we ask CEOs, sometimes they tell us that they get up and they make sure that they make their bed in the morning. Some people go jogging. Some people go rowboating first thing in the morning. What is it about your routine that gets you ready for the day?
Yes, I do have a routine. I'm guilty as charged. I'm one of those guys. I have a pretty rigorous routine. I do wake up at 5 a.m. every day. I work out every day at 6 a.m., and I need that time to get energized and get set for the day. I'm a heavy espresso drinker, so I have a commercial machine at my house that I fuel up at least 4 shots of espresso before I even get in the car at 5:30 to come into the city. Yeah. Caffeine, a good solid workout, and then I'm ready to start my day. I also believe in a really good balance. So I make sure to get to bed at night at a decent time. If you send me an email past 9 p.m., I won't even see it until the next day. So get some sleep and spend a lot of time with my wife and my kids.
Have you had a wow moment during your career that's, you know, kind of propelled you forward?
A wow moment. The thing that keeps me going when I really am feeling like it's getting really tough is that I have seen families and people that have worked for me in various capacities in the past. I've seen their lives change through what they do in the businesses that I've led in the restaurant industry. It's one of the few industries where you can really come in with minimal education, not a ton of outside experience, and just based on your energy, your personality, your work ethic, you can really excel. And so I can think of many, many people whose lives have been changed because of this business and teams that I've been on with them. And that's what keeps me going when I think about all those people's lives and that I've hopefully helped to better or help them to better themselves. That's really where I say, man, this is an unbelievable opportunity.
If you had a crystal ball, maybe you do have a crystal ball.
I have one right here.
Where do you see a Roti in 5-10 years?
I think that our growth is really limitless. I think that we're the right brand for the right moment, which is right now. And the way people are thinking about food, about the relationships that people have with food, coming together and eating communally, spending that balanced time and not just eating in the car, for example. I mean, we always eat in the car. I eat in the car sometimes. But, you know, taking that time to sit around a table and eat really great food is important. And I think that as we go out and open more restaurants throughout the country, we've got a great opportunity to bring Roti to people all across this nation, as well as internationally. We really want to change how America eats and giving them better options and better opportunities. So more growth, hundreds of restaurants. I can definitely see this as a brand with massive growth ahead of us.
Carl, wonderful meeting you, and all the best to everybody at Roti.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate the opportunity. Great to talk with you as well.
Carl Siegel is the CEO of Roti Modern Mediterranean, and we're going to continue our conversation with Carl after the bell this morning and post it in the podcast of the opening bell a little bit later on this morning at WGNradio.com, and make sure you follow them on Twitter at Roti Modern Med. Yeah, that's Roti Modern Med, and online you can find them at roti.com.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's NO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoNO.com. Apple announced that it's planning to hold its next event in Chicago at Lang Tech College Prep High School on March 27th at 10 a.m. The company says it will share creative new ideas with teachers and students. In a new survey of the 20 best-paid MBA graduates, two local schools cracked the top 10. The University of Chicago's Booth School came in third, with its graduates earning a total compensation of $250,000. Northwestern's Kellogg School was seventh at $209,000. And PayPal co-founder Max Levchin is set to deliver the commencement address this spring at the University of Illinois. Levchin graduated from U of I's computer science program in 1997. That's today's NO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoNO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. The 9th Annual Franchise Show at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center begins March 24th and runs through the 26th. We're lucky to have the president of the Franchise Show with us this morning here in The Opening Bell, Fred Cox. Fred, good morning. Welcome to the bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
This is always an exciting time, especially if you're an entrepreneur, because we learn a little bit about franchise ownership. Tell us, first of all, about the show and the particulars that we need to know.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a great event. It really is sort of the Super Bowl of franchising. So for people who have ever thought about getting into business for themselves, have a dream about making more money, about taking better control of their future, and really charting their own course and have an entrepreneurial bent, this is a great place to come out and learn all that you need to learn about all the options that are available for you to own your own business. There's really nothing like being able to research firsthand and face-to-face in terms of meeting people who have opportunities and be able to compare and contrast all the different business options that are available to you to be a business owner.
Give us a sense of what franchises are going to be there.
Yeah, we have about 75 different franchises at the show this weekend, and it's a great collection of world-class names, you know, the names like Subway and 7-Eleven and Circle K and Rosati's Pizza, some of the best-known franchises that people have known and been patrons of for years, so they will know those kind of things. But there's also a lot of great up-and-coming franchises, which people talk about, hey, I would have loved to have owned one of the first McDonald's 40 years ago and those type of things, or a Subway 20 years ago. Well, there's a lot of great ground floor opportunities for people to look at this weekend. So a great number of industries especially as well. So because really franchising is all about pairing your experience from your past and the passions that you have with opportunities that are available in the marketplace. And to be able to investigate all the different industries under one roof is really what is going to lead someone to success in the future.
Fred, you do these shows all over the country. Actually, it's international now in Canada and the U.S. What are those franchises that are popping up that might not be on people's radar that have people buzzing?
Well, a lot of different service franchises are ones that are getting a bit hotter when you talk about the changes in lifestyle, really, and you talk about senior care and home services. As people get busier with more people looking for child care services and home care services, as their lives get busier, there's franchises that are popping up to suit those needs. And so those are some of the kind of things. And also, as we look at technology, there's lots of different cellular and technology-related franchises and business opportunities as well that are going to be available at the show this weekend, which, again, are serving a need for today's marketplace. So you have your tried-and-true great things that people immediately think of in terms of quick-serve restaurants and fast food, but there's way more than that. There's probably 30 different industries represented this weekend, and again, that's what's going to allow people to say, hey, what have I done in the past? Where's my experience? And where's my best chance of success? And as mentioned, it's really about getting face-to-face and having the conversations with the owners of these franchises who have seen it be successful in other cities, and you're going to be able to have those conversations that will allow you to know if this is going to be something that will be successful for you if you open one of their franchises in the Chicagoland area.
That's pretty cool. So we will actually have the opportunity to sit and have those conversations and sort of compare and contrast, right?
That's correct. You got it. And in many cases, they bring in local franchisees as well, or from other parts of the country if they're brand new to the area, which those are the real exciting ones to me, is ones that are just launching in the potentially in the state for the first time. And you can talk to the franchisees who have had their growing pains as they've started their franchise and ask those questions to people. And we've also got great impartial information at the show from seminar speakers as well that happen, and those are free all weekend long, that are going to give people a lot of information that they can take into their discussions with the franchisors and in their post-show follow-up as well.
I'm looking at the schedule now at franchiseinfo.com/Chicago. Featured seminar, everything you wanted to know about franchising. Here's another, a special seminar for current business owners. 5 steps of due diligence. Those are just some of the seminars that are there.
Yeah, some really great seminars that you can learn about exactly things like about the due diligence of when you are investigating in a franchise, but then great just general business advice on marketing in a digital age as well, because this, you know, you do have to bring a number of different skills when you're going to be a business owner, and the nice thing is franchisors are bringing many of those skills as well, and much of that support. So you're never, when you are looking at franchising, that is the best thing about it, is you are not in business for yourself. You're by yourself, but you certainly have that support behind you. And other seminars at the show as well, we have lawyers and accountants, representatives from the SBA, people who are talking about how to potentially use some assets in your 401k to be able to finance your startup of your business. So lots of them. These are just support people who can help you. When you find the business that's going to be right for you, they can say, hey, we're the support people who can help make it happen. So that's very important to take in some of those seminars and get some information so you know some right questions to ask people as well when you're at the show.
So the show is March 24th through the 25th, so Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. How do we get tickets? And this is open to everybody, isn't it?
It sure is. That's right. ChicagoFranchiseShow.com is your best place to get tickets. They're available 2-for-1 online, so that's your best bet from a financial perspective. And it is open to everybody. No experience needed, and even there's great opportunities that are home-based as well. So if people currently enjoy their job but are looking for a second income or some part-time work, there's great things that aren't full-time. You don't have to open a bricks-and-mortar franchise, as you may think of. There's lots of great opportunities to dip your toe in the water, find a secondary source of income, and get your start in business ownership. So lots of opportunities from that perspective to look at as well.
Fred, good of you to be with us this morning. All the best to a successful show this weekend.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Fred Cox is the president of the Franchise Show, again this weekend at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center, March 24th and the 25th, Saturday 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., $8 at the door, 2-for-1 online.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, it could be a rough day on Wall Street today. Futures are off considerably this morning. Dow futures down 131 points. S&P futures are down about 14. NASDAQ futures are off more than 100 points, nearly 2.5% this morning as we head toward the opening bell. Oil is down about 21 cents a barrel at 62.13. Let's get the latest now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve, and happy last day of winter. It's going to be a busy week. First day of spring arrives tomorrow, and along with that, the salute to American agriculture. The theme of this year's salute, agriculture, food for life. And there will be activities in our nation's capital tomorrow calling attention to the important role played by agriculture, not only in the U.S., but also in the world. The other big event this week is the graduation of the 2016 Illinois Ag Leadership Class. That will take place on Friday in Chicago, as the class of 2016 has completed its 2 years of information and education to help make them better leaders on behalf of agriculture. And the international trip just came to a conclusion earlier this month, visit to Southeast Asia. As far as markets are concerned, well, spring won't make much difference, at least on the first day, as far as prices are concerned. And so, livestock-wise, the June lean hog contract starts at $79.12 a hundredweight after dropping 27 cents last Friday. The April live cattle contract dropped 95 cents Friday, and it'll start the week at $121.25. The April feeder cattle contract starting the week at $140.20 after dropping 82 cents on Friday. And the wheat market will be pretty much determined how much, if any, moisture fell in the winter wheat belt. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Monday, March 19th. Not a lot on the economic calendar today, but it's going to be a busy week. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting begins tomorrow, and the mortgage rates come in on Wednesday, followed by the FOMC meeting announcement. We expect a rate hike this week from the Fed. Fed Chair has his first press conference on Wednesday as well. We'll also get a look at existing home sales. And then later in the week, jobless claims on Thursday, the leading indicators coming on Thursday as well. And then on Friday, durable goods, new home sales, all important economic indicators for the week. Today, Oracle earnings and the G20 meeting starts. FedEx earnings coming tomorrow. Wednesday, we'll see General Mills earnings. And then on Thursday, we'll get earnings from Nike. So a very busy week on the market calendar, things that could move the markets this week.